Let's turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32 verses 22 through 32. Here's the word of God. The same night he rose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you are so gracious, and every day we find a refreshed new grace and mercy again and again. We are so thankful that you have been with us and will be with us. Apart from you, we don't have any other place to go. Here, we want to be renewed and strengthened and encouraged by you. Now, please, bless us with your own power and love, and show us that you love us so much, and nourish us that we will be stronger than before. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. As we just read, Jacob, he's left alone, and he wrestles with God fiercely. And I think that this description can summarize the whole life of Jacob for the most part. And I even think that the same description can apply to many of us here. If you look back upon your past, your life, how would you summarize your past life? Ultimately, the central factor of your life has been to do with your personal relationship with God. So how close, if I may ask from the very beginning, how close have you been to God and with God over the last many decades? How many times, if I may more, you know, ask more, how many times did you try to wrestle with God to get your own way? And even how many times then did you win over the wrestle with God? Or should I ask you this way, how many times did God break you, wound you? Our chapter begins with God's angels appearing to Jacob. So let me quickly read verses 1 and 2. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of that place Mahanaim, which means two camps of army. So the army of God's angels begin to surround Jacob in our text. So it is obvious that God is with him. God cares for him. So God wants to assure Jacob of his safety, protection. But that's not the whole picture. Verse 6, the messengers returned to Jacob saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and there are 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. So here in our text, we find two realities. One, God wants to protect Jacob. Second, Esau wants to kill Jacob. Now, how is Jacob supposed to handle or respond to these two realities? It's not really easy. To some degree, we can relate to Jacob. We learn from the Bible that God takes care of us. He is with us, and he cares for us. He protects us. But on the other hand, we experience hostile, dangerous, difficult things in our lives. Even though we learn that we are called children of God, difficult, horrible situations in our lives do not stop coming to us. The army of God, army of God's angels remind Jacob of his dream of the ladder, which was 20 years ago. It was when Jacob left his hometown that he dreamed. So it is Genesis 28. Let me read verse 12. Genesis 28, 12. He dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Verse 15. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So that was 20 years ago. And if you remember, Jacob was in the middle of fleeing from his twin brother Esau. Esau was furious at Jacob and wanted to kill him. So 20 years after, now in our text, Jacob remembers that dream or that instance again. Genesis 32 in our text, verse 11. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him that he may come and attack me. The mothers with the children, but you said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. But what do we find here? Poignantly, to Jacob, the whole situation doesn't seem to have changed anything. The situation has not changed anything. 20 years have passed. Jacob left his hometown. He was treated badly by the wicked boss Laban. And he even had to work for how many years? 14 years in order to marry the woman that he loved so much, Rachel. And now, 20 years have gone, and he wants to go back to his hometown. He wants to see his parents. He wants to catch up with his friends, everything. And he thought, now things have changed. But look at this. Nothing has changed. So Jacob now witnessing the contrast between God's promise and God's seeming indifference to his own promise. That's where Jacob is stuck. He knows that God has promised him and he understands God's plans and purpose. But at the same time, he witnesses with his own eyes that God seems like he's indifferent to his own promise. So nothing has changed. Jacob thinking, what did God do for me so far over the last 20 years? I am about to be killed anyway by Esau. This struggle or this contrast or this mysterious thing to Jacob actually began from the very beginning of his own life. As you remember, God promised that he would love Jacob. And Jacob was going to be the one who would be in the blessings of God, not Esau. But what happened? Esau came out first, right? And Jacob couldn't handle it. So even in the womb, he had to wrestle or fight against his twin brother. So he tried to drag Esau down, but he failed. What else? If you remember, Esau was the one who was more muscular, masculine, or manly, or strong, that kind of man. But what was Jacob like? He was kind of soft, tender, kind of, you know, that kind of, you know, domestic type of man. He enjoyed talking with his mom much more than going outside. So in the Bible, we found that Jacob enjoyed talking in the tent, which means with his mom. Did God make a mistake? Jacob must have thought, did God make a mistake? If God wanted me to be the one in the blessings, his own blessings, why did he make things so difficult or this way? Therefore, many times in his life, Jacob believed that he had to do anything he could do in order to help God to fulfill his own promises. With all these disappointing circumstances, Jacob was convinced many times that God needed his help. Verse 22 in our text, the same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that it had, and Jacob was left alone. Jacob here feels most vulnerable in his whole life. Now he's threatened to death, and so now he just wants to be alone. There's nothing, there seems to be nothing that he can do to change the situation. He believes that he has done everything he could do in order to help God to fulfill his own promise. But now, look at me. I'm about to be killed by Esau. What I have done so far will turn out to be meaningless failure. Now, my brother will kill me. All that I have built up, all that I have worked, all that I have achieved will proved to be meaningless. So Jacob needs a total solitude. He wants to be left alone. But as we read, God comes to meet with him. In a total darkness, when no one is able to recognize anything, all of a sudden, out of the blue, out of nowhere, God appears before Jacob. Verse 24, when Jacob was left alone, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. So we learn here that God took the initiative of this wrestle with God. It is God who decided to make a visit with Jacob. And it is God, we should say, it is God who tremendously stooped down to the level of Jacob. It was because God wanted to fulfill something very important that night. Verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Immediately, Jacob realizes that it might very well be the first and last chance in his whole life to put things under his control. He immediately realizes that it is a once-for-all moment to change everything upside down. So he has to win the wrestle. He must win the wrestle that he can be the one who controls everything. But in reality, God is revealing. God wants to reveal something to Jacob. God wants to teach something to him. Because this wrestling picture is not limited only to this moment in Genesis 32. What I mean by that is that it was God that Jacob has been wrestling with in his entire life. Wrestling? Behind the wrestling with Esau, Jacob fought against God's providence. Behind the wrestle for Rachel, Jacob tried to be in control of everything. Beyond all his wrestling incidents with other people, Jacob, in reality, he wrestled with God. He opposed strongly to God's lordship over him. He opposed strongly against God's providence. So Jacob, in his entire life, has been fiercely wrestling with God. Therefore, God had to teach him something. Therefore, God had to break him badly. God had to hurt him. Verse 25, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. What do we read? God broke the hip bone of Jacob. Now he lost all his strength. It was badly hurt. And I believe that he experienced at the moment a near death. Jacob is now numb in his mind. He cannot think anything. He cannot process anything. He just lost all his power and control. The Almighty God just attacked Jacob, the mere creature. And he just broke him. Now, Jacob literally is dashed to the ground. He lost all his power. He cannot think anything. He is literally numb before God. He first experienced the powerful lordship of God over him. And God said, verse 26, let me go, for the day has broken. Let me go, for the day has broken. So the mission has been accomplished. God fulfilled what he was going to fulfill. God wanted to teach him something, and he believed that he taught something to Jacob now. So from this point, we can observe the outcome of God's mission or result of God's work to break Jacob. And Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. So we should remember at this moment that Jacob has been totally broken. He has been virtually dashed to the ground. So it's not like Jacob is still full of energy, fiercely wrestling with God. I believe that it was God who sustained the broken Jacob, holding Jacob, because he lost all his power, and Jacob was just hanging upon God, maybe holding God's shoulder, maybe holding God's neck, and God was carrying, looking at the broken Jacob, saying, now I have to go, Jacob. And Jacob says, Lord, I cannot let you go. It's not like stubbornly saying, I cannot let you go. It's more like, Lord, I will die if you go. If you leave me right now, I will die. That's what God has done for Jacob. For the first time, Jacob confesses to God with his genuine heart, Lord, if you go, I will die. That's the heartfelt prayer. That's what God has brought about in the heart of Jacob by breaking him. Now God is bringing about the real, heartfelt, genuine prayer from Jacob. Lord, I cannot let you go because I will die. And God says, what is your name? That's how God responded to Jacob. Jacob is kind of, he feels like he's dying at the near death. And God said, Jacob, okay, let's start from the beginning. Let's start from the beginning. What is your name? Do you know who you are before me? That's what God wants to teach Jacob. Do you know who you are before me? What is your name? And do you know how he answers? He says, my name is Jacob. He hated his name. Did you know that? The meaning of Jacob is a deceiver, liar, supplanter. So now Jacob is saying, Lord, I am a loser. I am a deceiver. I am a sinner. That's who I am. That's who I really am before you. Now Jacob is confronted with who he really is before God. God says, who do you think you are? And Jacob says, I'm nothing. I'm a liar. I'm a sinner. I'm a loser, Lord. How did God answer Jacob? That's the most beautiful thing in this scene, isn't it? How did God answer or respond to Jacob? God is saying, your name is not Jacob. You are not a deceiver. You are not a liar. You are not a sinner. He's a sinner. But you are not outside of me. God says, you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Your name will be called Israel. Your name is called Israel, which means God rules, God commands, or God prevails. But I like Matthew Henry's translation or interpretation. Quote, "Be thou never so called any more. Henceforth thou shalt be celebrated, nor for craft or artful management, but for true valor. Thou shalt be called Israel, a prince with God." A prince with God. God is saying, your name is a prince with God. Apart from God, he's a liar. He's a supplanter. Now his name has the name of God. Israel has the name of God in it. So you go with me. If you are with me, you will be called a prince. A prince of God. A prince. It's quite paradoxical, isn't it? The minute he acknowledges his identity as a deceiver or liar, he finds another identity, prince with God, that is granted by God. God is saying, if you are with me, if you let me fight, there's nothing that can be against you. There's nothing that can prevail you. There's nothing that can separate you from me. That's who I am. I am with you. And I formed you in the womb of your mom. I knew you even before you were born. And I love you. I love you. No one can be against you. No one. Because I am with you. And I will be with you. Verse 29. Verse 30. Jephthah called. Jephthah asked him, "Please tell me your name." But God said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there God blessed him. Isn't it beautiful? God is saying, let's start from the beginning, from the scratch. What is your name? Jacob said, I am a deceiver, a sinner. God is saying, no, I will be with you. Therefore, you will be called a prince with God. And then Jacob, for the first time, wants to know God personally. Lord, what is your name? May I know you as well. Can I be close to you? Can I accept you, receive you as at a personal level? And God is saying, why is it that you ask my name? In other words, Jephthah, I know you know me. You don't have to ask. I know you know me. I am your blessing. I am your God. I am your Lord. I am the one who will never leave you or forsake you. That's who I am. I'm your creator. I am your God. And then Jephthah says, I have seen God face to face. I have seen God face to face. So my question for you this morning is this. Do you know who you are before God? What is your real identity? And do you know who you are if you are standing in Christ, in God, by the love of God? Have you ever asked God, Lord, may I know you? Lord, what is your name? Can I call you? Do you? Do you desire him? As Jacob did. I don't know how many times our God broke you in your life. If he has never done in your life, I can assure you, at some point, he will visit you and break you so that you can confess to him, Lord, I want to know you. Let me close with one quote. James Boyce said, in this battle with God, Jacob suffers a reversal of his fortunes, which is actually his victory. He loses his wrestling match with God. God touches his hip and he's permanently wounded. But in the divine logic, which is beyond our full comprehension, this loss is Jacob's victory. Did you just hear it? According to the divine logic, Jacob won the game by losing it. In other words, God let him win by breaking him and blessing him. Do you love him, dear brother and sister? Do you know him, dear friends? Do you know this God that the Bible bears witness to? He's a precious one. He's the most precious, most beautiful one that I personally have found in my whole life. I want you to be close to my God and our God. Can I offer you this morning that Christ is for you? God is willing to convert you or sanctify you. Would you be willing to come to him? Christ, the Son of God, died. He was wounded infinitely so that you will win the battle. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we are mere creatures. Please humble us, but we need your encouragement and love. So please, help us to behold your Son, him crucified in our gathering. We pray for the sake of Christ. Amen.